Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Our focus this morning is Empower House. Kathy Anderson, the executive director of Empower House, here this morning. We're going to talk about the serious topic of domestic violence and look at some of the things that have happened this year that have been real successes. And we'll look ahead this morning at what's coming up in the next year and the years ahead. Kathy, good morning. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning, Ted. It's great to be here. Thanks.
This we get together often to talk about always unpleasant subjects, but a lot of good things have happened in recent years, and one of the things that this year that I'll always remember this year for is the opening of the shelter that you opened. Was late summer.
So it opened August 31st, and for me, it's unbelievable that we achieved it. Only in that, you know, it was quite a tall task. We dreamed about it maybe 10 years ago. We knew the building we occupied and were sheltering out of was, we were over capacity. Folks, really didn't have, they didn't have privacy, which may seem, maybe that seems like a small thing. So it seems almost like is that really a tangible, important thing? Well, for folks in crisis, for folks coming from trauma, there's a lot of bad outcomes when you're crowded and don't have privacy and you can't think. But on top of that, I think you've heard us talk about it before. There were 5 bedrooms, double bunk beds in every bedroom. There were 2.5 bathrooms for 20 women and children plus, and that was 20 people. And it was a home. It was a split foyer home. And, we knew we needed to do something. So for us, as a small nonprofit, local nonprofit, mm-hmm. trying to raise funds to make that dream become a reality so that we could serve people better in a more hopeful environment with dignity was a tremendous undertaking. And I'm still pretty much in shock.
Well, a lot of money was raised to make it a reality, and I know looking at it, and I never saw the shelter that it replaced, but mm-hmm. to look at this shelter and knowing what those families are going through and what those women are going through, this gives them some space, and it's just a whole different, really a game changer.
We designed it specifically with intention around essentially building dignity. So that meant that when folks were leaving the trauma they were leaving, and that was inside of families where there was domestic violence, where there was abuse or tremendous intimidation. I mean, it's hard to believe what some people are going through until you really take a look at the whole story. I mean, we see snapshots, any one of us who do this work or anyone who's in the criminal justice system or law enforcement, we may see somebody at a single point in time. But if you really take the whole story and you know what people have been experiencing, the fact that we have a facility that's secured, that has suites so they can close the door and keep their household contained within their unit, they can lock their bedroom door, and then they can also come out and cook with other people. There's 3 kitchens in the new facility, so that makes it about 3 to 4 families per kitchen. And in that, there's a nice size, very nice size dining room. So it's this really open space area. We have right across the hall the playroom. And with the playroom, it has laundry and a sort of a job help center computer area. Right off the kitchen and dining area is the playground. And so these spaces are designed so that you can function and do your daily living mm-hmm. tasks and have sight lines to your children. And it's just so important for people to be able to, contain their families and think about what's next and take a break from what you know, the terror they were experiencing.
One of the times when you and I were walking around when the construction was going on, you mentioned to me it gave families a chance to breathe again. And that really is what that's like there.
You know, folks, you know, a lot of folks have an experience, but I'll go back to what we often talk about. 1 in 4 women in the U.S. are severely physically abused by an intimate partner in their lifetime. And so most of us know someone, or some of us have been through it. Some have, you know, a family member, friend, sister, mom, etc. But if you haven't experienced domestic violence, it's hard to imagine that you would live in a household where someone might keep you up all night. They might keep you up all night to make sure you're not at your best, just to let you know that they can do that. And so just that small act, and of course it's not a small act, it's pretty shocking that somebody would do that, but just imagine if that's the home you're living in, so you don't get any sleep that night, and then the next day you're not functioning, and everything you do is critiqued and criticized. And then at some point, you're waiting for somebody to reach their breaking point, and you don't know when that's going to be, but maybe they're going to grab you and throw you up against the wall by your neck and let you know just what they want to let you know. If you don't ever know when that's coming and you've been kept up all night, you do imagine that having breathing room in a place that we're talking about where people can leave, take a break, and really get the rest they need and begin to put their life back together, that is in itself a space that is provided that is a tremendous asset to making changes.
And that scenario you just told is just chilling for me to hear it, because I've never even thought of just even that, you know, keep a person up at night. And I'm sure, you know, way you could tell way worse stories than that, that those kind of stories are out there. And like you say, 1 in 4, those kind of things are going on.
I know. You know, I mean, it's stuff that people probably don't think of. Again, people who have been through it can't imagine what I'm talking about. But I mean, I still hear pieces of abuse that surprise me. But, you know, I think of two, like, folks who are in relationships, and wherever they look and what they look like is a source of anxiety for them. And what I mean by that is if they go out in public, they're not supposed to look at men, for example, men in particular. And even if they're not looking at men, they're going to get accused of it. And what I mean by that is someone who takes jealousy, which jealousy may be a normal human, you know, it's a feeling that people have.
Yeah.
But in an abusive relationship, that is used to inflict that abuse. And so, you know, just walking down the road, just being in the car, you looked at that man, or being accused all the time of having an affair is something that people are living with. And it's just, for them, it's so unbelievable. It's like, what is he talking about? You know, look at other men. I don't have any interest in any other men. But it's a way to keep somebody in line. If they keep getting accused of it, then I'm going to eventually catch you, or I'm going to look for things. I'm going to find things. And when I find those things, I'm going to let you know I found them. And I'm going to use that as an excuse to hurt you. And so, again, it's this crazy making kind of stuff that people are living with. So when they're able to leave that space and come to a space that is hopeful and that does give them the privacy and ability to be independent thinkers, it's a gift that our community is giving people.
Yeah. No, and you can, not only do they have more space there, you have more space to take people in. And it just has that has been just a great thing to finally open this year.
We didn't believe it. So we knew that we would not increase our bed. We increased our bed space by a lot. We more than, you know, doubled it. But we knew from the beginning we weren't going to go to that capacity because staffing, you know, you want to be able to serve people.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, within 2 months, we went up to our capacity. We went up to 40 people, and we had a family of 9 and we had a family of 6 among those folks. And so, you know, we don't plan to do that on a regular basis because it really is, it does overtax sort of the resources that we have at this point in time. But you're right, we're able to serve more people now. It's easier to take folks in when that emergency arises. And when that emergency arises, you never know when that's going to be. And you hope that not everybody in the community has the emergency at the same time. But we are blessed to be able to serve when called upon to do so.
And as we go along this morning, we're going to talk about ways that, that people can help you and become a partner in what you're doing. EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website, EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Anderson here from EmpowerHouse. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson is here from EmpowerHouse, EmpowerHouseVA.org. Even though to me it seems like everybody knows, it's always a good reminder, and you always try to remind people at least one time when you're here that EmpowerHouse used to be, the name used to be Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence. And it was a few years ago the name changed, and I think most have gotten used to it, but it's always a good reminder.
It's a good reminder. I mean, we have new friends because of the new name, and we have old friends that know the name changed. And then we have maybe old friends who are like, okay, Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence. We even have some people who really want to hold on to the RCDV piece. So like they'll print their lists of phone numbers, et cetera. And they're like, yeah, we know you changed your name, but you're RCDV. So, you know, people have their preferences, but EmpowerHouse has the tagline supporting survivors of domestic violence. And, you know, our old name was Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence. A little harder to say, a little harder to get out, maybe less communicative of what we do, but we're here to stay as EmpowerHouse, and thank you for letting people know.
The one of the things we mentioned before we took the break about there's always an opportunity to help EmpowerHouse out, and you're to be able to do the things you do, to open a shelter and to provide just the counseling and the services that you do. You need the community involved, and there's lots of ways to get involved.
We love the community being involved, and we probably get a phone call or an email possibly every day about someone wanting to help, and it's tremendous. For example, there's a person doing an event in her home in Augustine this weekend, and she said, "I'm raffling a basket, and I want that money to go to EmpowerHouse this week." And so she, it's a holiday affair, but so that's just lovely. People can get involved in so many ways, and they probably don't know all the ways. I mean, you've showcased on your show when people have done the fundraiser at the car wash or the tattoo, Chuck Brown's tattoo.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's lots of ways. Some people don't realize that even like realtors could get involved in the sense that we place folks in their own homes with deposits and first month's rent and more rent to help get them stabilized as they go on to the next part of their journey. And it's possible that some folks would be able to help in that way, to work with us, and we could, you know, inform folks of kind of what's going on with the, you know, and then get them signed up with a lease and get them in. But the more people we have to work with, the better that program is functioning, the more people can get the services they need. On an easy scale, people may realize that we need the day-to-day products that everyone else needs. So things like toilet paper. We go through a lot of toilet paper. We also go through a lot of cleaning products. So, you know, laundry soap or floor cleaner, disinfectants. People may not know that we have babies stay with us frequently. We have several pregnant women, and so, you know, there may be some births soon on the horizon. But anyway, diapers of all sizes we need all the time. And, you know, like I also made a list of things that, you know, are maybe one-time sources of assistance. People may not know, but there are yoga classes going on right now for our folks, and we are in need of yoga mats. And so just sort of interesting and unusual things that come upon You know, if somebody's thinking, well, what can I do this season? You know, we could use some yoga mats. You know, other things we could use that people might not think of are thermometers, or we need some bookshelves right now. But, you know, there's lots of ways people can help. We use consumables, food, everything.
Well, that's good to be real specific like that, because there may be people that think, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
And nothing is too small, because like you say, everything that we all use, you need in that shelter.
We do. And I think a couple of people have asked about clothing recently, and I've said, can you put that on hold until February? We got a lot of clothing and put that to use. And if we have specific needs, we'll reach out for them. But this is the time of year when a lot of people are providing gifts for the children at Christmas time. And so that'll take up a fair amount of space at our couple spots where we can stash until Christmas. And so, you know, we use everything, but our needs wax and wane. So if it's, you know, if it's things that we can put on the shelf that are going to be used, consumables, you know, we can take them and put them away. But, you know, pillows, we go through a lot of pillows. Often people come in and use the pillow, and then, you know, they may take that with them, which, you know, for the person coming in, that's probably actually appreciated.
Yeah.
And
but you need to replace them.
We need to replace them. Absolutely. So lots of things.
You showed me this book, or I've just been looking at this book that you put together, and it's pictures of a lot of your events. And then a lot of, it mentions a lot of the people that are involved. There is a lot in the community that this community has really stepped up to say, you know, we want to do something about this.
The community has seen the need, and they've seen, you know, what we're able to do with their help. They are they really care about people in our community. That's probably the primary thing that's happening. And then they, you know, kind of stumble upon us, or they seek us out and they come to some of our events. The Empty Bowl is a great example of those events every January for the past over 15 years. And they have a nice time there, and the musicians come and play for free. I just love the musicians. The potters give their bowls, and they're beautiful of all sorts. You know, one person's bowl, well, that's not a very well put together bowl, that's not a well crafted bowl, is somebody else's treasure.
You
know, so like, depending on who's looking at that bowl, you know, it's the perfect bowl for the person who picks it out. The potters are amazing to do that. I know that Liberty Town, Dee Dee and Kenneth Leckie will be doing a bowl-a-rama. They always do that at the beginning of January, and then they all these bowls are thrown and then fired and then decorated and fired again, and they donate the space and the time and the clay. And, you know, so there are other potters that have nothing to do with that event that say that we got a phone call saying, hey, I gave last year, when's the date? I'd like to get bowls. And so people, that event in particular, people just fall in love with sort of the magic in the room that night, because there's art, there's music, there's good food, and there's good company. And it, you know, it's a really dressed down affair, but some people dress up because, you know, it's a party. And so anything goes at the Empty Bowl. And it's a 2.5 hours, January 29th this year. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. They will be online, and they will be at Liberty Town Arts Workshop, and they will be at Sophia Street Studios. $60 tickets, great Christmas gift, or any other holiday that someone may be celebrating. So great. They make great gifts, and it's been a sellout every year.
And the food is fantastic. The soup is so good.
You know, a lot of restaurants get involved and donate, you know, nice quantities of really delicious soup. And, you know, I think of, you know, Sammy T's was one of those places that gave soup. And, you know, that's probably not going to happen this year. But Soup and Taco, the Bavarian Chef, and many others are making some really good soup for us.
January 29th is the Empty Bowl, and I'm sure we'll do a show sometime in January, mid-January, to really focus in on it. But it really is a good fundraiser, and you always have it before the Super Bowl, so it's not going to run into the Super Bowl.
It's between those two big football games, so that folks can manage to get there. We don't want to get in the way of the Super Bowl. And But, you know, that event, along with a few other events, has been a nice introduction to the organization. I think early on, there were people that went to the Empty Bowl that didn't know anything about the organization. And then there were others that came to the Empty Bowl because of our mission and because they knew us. But all in all, that has really been a great opportunity to make new friends and to reconnect with old friends. And it's a great way for folks to get involved and see there might be another way they want to get involved. I know that a longtime donor and founder of the organization, in learning upon a few things we were able to announce at events like that, wanted to help. And she helped furnish the second home that we opened in Fredericksburg. So there's just so many ways for people to get involved and reconnect.
EmpowerHouseVA.org is how you can, one of the ways to find out what's going on, EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Anderson here. More on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
Channel.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson here from the, I almost said the Rappahannock Council on Domestic Violence. Empowerhouse.
You could say that.
Well, I know I could say that. We just talked about it, and I guess it was in my head. Empowerhouse is the organization, empowerhouseva.org. In the past year, you've moved. You were in the area you were. That building is no longer there over on Harrison Road and Route 1, and you have moved to a different location off of Lafayette Boulevard.
I know. We're at 150 Old Greenwich, Suite 101, and that's 22408 zip code. So it's a, we moved, it was like less than a mile away, and we're no longer in that really visible spot with our sign where everybody has to, you know, sit at that intersection. That's the reason they knocked the building down, is because it was such an intersection of many problems.
They're widening it now.
Many
so
problems.
There's going to be there's going to be a road there. We've talked about this in the past, but when a person's in the situation like you described earlier, when you were just graphically described a couple of situations that sometimes women find themselves, it's more than just saying, well, then you just got to leave. You can't stay in a situation like that. But it's just so much more complicated than that for a lot of reasons.
You know, it's complicated for a lot of reasons. And, you know, we could go into the emotional abuse piece. But along with the physical abuse comes a lot of emotional, it can paralyze you emotionally. And I think of one person who we worked with. Now, it's not unusual for folks to come into our shelter and then they may leave and we may not know where they went or what occurred next, but we may hear from them again. So that's not atypical. But I think of one woman whose story we followed after the fact. And, you know, the second or third time coming to us, it was a pretty brutal assault, so brutal that by the time they did catch up with him and arrest him and put him in jail, he stayed there for the next, I mean, he's in there now for, I think, 15 years. But her journey in getting to us, on probably her second time with us, she disappeared again. And again, it's like, okay, well, we don't know where she went. Hopefully we'll hear from her again. But looking back on her story, there were two incidences that are worth mentioning. And one of them was, she took a cab to work one day and he followed her. And he followed the cab, and he was on the tail of that cab at a stoplight. He got out of the car with his baseball bat. The cab locked the doors, kept going, got her to her workplace, where the cab driver physically made himself, really put himself in harm's way while she ran into the building, locked the door, and they called the police. But that kind of aggression and that kind of obvious aggression is what this woman was facing, not only at home, but publicly. So what happened then later, she went into a convenience store. I believe she was even with her father. She was with her children. And she ran into him. And in that doorway, and I say she ran into him, maybe he followed her. But as she came out and he was coming in, she knew that her only choice was to get in the car with him. Now, were there other options? Could she have run back in the convenience store and asked them to call the police? I mean, obviously there were options, but in her mind, there were no other options that he found me, I'm found, he's putting me in that car, and we're done. And I'm not sure why I'm telling that particular story, but I think of her situation and how paralyzed in fear she was, that she could not think, what was my next move? That she believed that he was going to find her wherever she was, and that was her fate, because he had told her that, because he had certainly made her feel that way when he had her what the very next thing he did was move her out to the country. I believe there was I don't know if it was a trailer or, it was very sort of a rugged environment, but they were out in the country, isolated, no phone, no Wi-Fi, no anything, no way for her to get to civilization. And from there, she made the best of it until, again, the next very brutal assault, and had a family member not come by to observe the condition everybody was in after that assault, she'd still be there.
Well, and it's good for, I guess, all of us to, even if we're not in that kind of a situation, to know about, at least a little bit about Empower House, or a little, because if you could be sitting next in a cubicle every day working with someone who's living under this, and just to be able to give them a little bit of guidance, because that's got to be the tough thing if you suspect you suspect someone's in that kind of a situation.
I know people want to help, and also people are afraid to get involved and afraid to get into someone else's business. I would say the best thing that people can do is make themselves present and to be able to say little things like, hey, I notice things aren't going well for you, or, I'm concerned for you. Little things like that could open the door enough to hear just a little bit. People don't have to solve the problem because they're aware of the problem. They can give a phone number and let folks know that there's a resource for them. I mean, that's one of the best things about our services, is our 24-hour hotline where people can call confidentially, they can call anonymously, and they can talk a little bit about what's going on. And I think even if it's the friend in the cubicle or the coworker in the cubicle who's not going through it, they can call our hotline, 373-9373, and they can say, hey, I know this is happening, or I suspect this is happening, and get some advice on maybe what they can do. They could leave a brochure. I wouldn't recommend leaving it anonymously. I would say, I'm concerned for you, and I just want you to know this resource is out there. And I can talk more about what happens when people call the hotline, but that I think that's really the best way. This is not your fault. I'm concerned for you.
Yeah. What does happen when a person calls the hotline?
So any number of things. It's really up to the person calling. And so, again, it could be a family or member, friend, or coworker just asking, hey, there's got this situation. I'm really not sure how to handle this. And we could sort of talk through some of the options there. For a person who's experiencing, we get a lot of phone calls where people say, I'm not sure I'm calling the right place. My situation's not that bad. So that a lot of our phone calls start out like that, which is fine. And I would also say probably we're not hearing the whole story when people call for the first time, but it can be information gathering. It can be, I've got a situation. I don't want it reported. I don't really want anyone to know about it. But I need to talk to somebody. And so it kind of opens the door to knowing what's available. It opens the door to learning about legal remedies. A lot of people will say they don't want to call the police, or they don't want to take court action. And we don't expect people to, but we do like them to know about those resources. So being able to call 911 is a really important thing that people need to know. And I think also people don't always realize that some of what's going on in their home, even just hearing what's happening to you is against the law, is a major surprise for a lot of folks. They don't think, if it's not a punch, they really don't see some of those physical things that are being done to them as assault and battery. All of that would get sorted out in court. But the thing for people to know is it really is as bad as you're feeling, even though you don't want to believe it's that bad. But once they start talking and sharing that, you know, we can say, well, you've got options, and they're able to kind of take those options into their own hands. So, for example, they could come to a free support group, and that meets every Monday night. And it's for a couple hours, and they can go to an open group, they can go to a closed group. I can talk about what those mean, but they're free, and it allows them to connect with others. So a lot of people come and they don't talk for months, well, maybe weeks.
Yeah.
And then they kind of become comfortable by hearing from others, and then they kind of find that they do want to open up some. But they learn a lot from group, and they learn a lot from others. Some people do want to look at obtaining a protective order. So they receive information about attorneys, about filing, about, you know, what they can do. And a lot of people take that initiative on their own without attorneys, you know, but it really depends on folks' resources, how soon they want that protective order, whether they have access to an attorney, whether they can get services from, I want to say Rappahannock Legal Services, but now it's Legal Aid Works. And there's also private attorneys people can hire. But some folks don't have access to the resources. So I think it's good to explore what they can access when they don't have resources, because they believe that they can't access a resource, and that's not true. And then I would say there's other services too, in terms of we can go with someone to their doctor, to the court, to the really to a number of places. Some people need to apply for benefits, and we can help them look at what that looks like, where you go, who you talk to, what does the paperwork look like. And then there's housing services. So folks may come to our shelter, they may not. They may go into a home that we help them get into that they later on sustain on their own. We have children's services. We have Latina advocacy, so folks whose primary language is Spanish, mm-hmm. they may have a little bit of English. That service is available to them, and some folks are trying to sort out some immigration things related to the abuse that they received, so we can help orient them to get some of those needs taken care of. I'm sure I haven't mentioned all the good work that we do, but I think a lot of people don't realize that the bulk of our services, the majority of people we serve, actually never step foot into our shelter.
Interesting. I knew you did a lot, but even some of that is news to me. And it shows. I mean, you'll do whatever a person needs at whatever level they feel comfortable and want you to be involved.
Right. I mean, some people take action on their own, and we may never talk to them again. They may have received what they were looking to receive mm-hmm. over the phone. There's also people that go stay with family and friends that never come to our shelter, and that works for them. And sometimes that doesn't work, and they went to their family and friends, but then may need to come into our shelter after that. But again, yeah, I mean, I know somebody who attended support group for a long time. It was our Latina group, and like a year and a half later, maybe it was 2 years, one of our advocates got a phone call and said, I need to go to court. You know, she's known about a protective order for a very long time, and today is the day she's saying she needs to do it. And so off she went to the courthouse to help her file that protective order. So, you know, I didn't mention that we safety plan. That's kind of a weird thing to say as a verb. I was like, what is that? But we kind of are able to go over sort of the risks that people have experienced. So, you know, is there a weapon? Have you been threatened with a weapon? Are there threats to harm you, the pets, the children, and kind of what scenarios have happened in the past, so that if they're staying in their home where the abuse is taking place, or if they're at work, or if they file for a protective order and get one, wherever they are, that they've thought through what they would do in that situation where they're confronted with, or if they're being followed, and how can they increase the safety at any one point in time where risk increases?
You mentioned a few minutes ago about the groups, that there are open groups and closed groups.
Yeah. So the open group is so people can pop in. So if there's not a group starting, they could come and meet up with the facilitator and the other group members. Or maybe they can't commit to coming every week, so when they can come, they're going to go to that open group. But some people will get into like maybe a 6, 8, 12 week time period where they cover specific topics. And it's only those folks that started in that group that kind of, they build that relationship over time. Okay. They only open up to those folks. And so it's a little more private, I suppose, and a little more covering a number of topics that are set.
Mm-hmm. EmpowerHouseVA.org, the website to go to get all kinds of information. And I always mention this to you, that you have like a place there, or a button will pop up that you can, if the person's being, if their computer usage is being tracked, they'll you tell them if you hit the escape button now, it won't
show up on the computer. You out of that screen and not sort of allow you to go back to that site.
Just shows what, you know, you have to look at everything.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about how people use technology at all. I mean, there's always a lot of things we don't talk about, but that has been an emergent kind of way to abuse folks. So whether it's taking over somebody's Facebook page or hacking into their email account or putting some, a lot of people don't know, and I hesitate to talk about it, but it's pretty common knowledge, you know, that if somebody has access to your phone, chances are, and if they mean to follow you, abuse you, etc., there's probably some way they can do that through your phone. And so there's just so many ways that people are at the mercy in many ways and not realizing how much control they do have over their lives, because it feels like they don't for the period of time that they're in that relationship.
EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Anderson from EmpowerHouse here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kathy Anderson with EmpowerHouse here this morning. Kathy, with everyone with the holidays here and so many of us focused on the holidays and happiness. But unfortunately, for a lot of Virginians, this is not a happy time. A lot of people in our community, in our own neighborhood, on our street, there are, you know, statistics indicate that there are people really living in dangerous situations, even though it's the holidays.
You know, talking about the danger piece, every 5 days a Virginian is killed because of domestic violence. And earlier we were talking about, well, if they know the steps, you know, all we need to do is sort of equip them with information and they can go to their support groups and they can get their protective order. But factually, you know, all that being said, you know, folks experiencing the domestic violence need to be sort of the leaders in how then they take that information and go with it, because taking steps is not a guarantee that immediately this abuse is going to go away. And so it's much more complicated than that. We talked about the safety planning. Folks are going to need to navigate their own situation, and we're not always going to understand why they're making the decisions they're making, but we respect that that is something that they need to take the lead on. And so it may be frustrating for folks, but try and remember that they're looking to increase the safety. And if it feels to them they're not safe at any one moment, they're going to figure out what they need to do to ultimately be at the place they want to be. And it's not 100% within their control. And they know that.
We've talked about the new shelter. We've done shows on it in the past, you know, the past couple of years. We posted videos as you made progress. It's up and running and has been a huge success. And you mentioned just of how you're at capacity and able to help a lot of people. Because of that, there are needs, and we talked about just day to day needs that you need. But also people getting the community involved is so important.
Right. So quadrupling our footprint means that even though it's a more efficiently heated and cooled location, we do pay more to operate the new shelter. So our folks contributing continues to be critical for us delivering those services. So as people are thinking about what to do during the holidays, certainly a financial contribution is much appreciated. And speaking of much appreciated, I mean, you know, we get to come to you and talk to you about what that means to us. But ultimately, what matters is what it means to the people who come to us. Like the fact that the community has prepared this beautiful facility for folks, and then they're able to be nurtured and get what they need. very early on when we opened up, we had probably, we were about half capacity. There was a woman standing in our foyer area and she was crying. And so our assistant director, Tammy, came across her and said, you know, kind of put her arm around her and said, "Are you okay?" "Yes, I'm okay." And Tammy looked at what she was looking at, and it was the plaque. It was the thing on the wall that said who all the donors were. Mm-hmm. And all the financial donors, and Tammy said, "Do you recognize some of the people up there?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, "I recognize a lot of them."
It's nice that the community is involved in what goes on, and that's what you need.
I think she was overwhelmed and appreciative that people had, you know, planned for her, and also the notion that, you know, she knew so many people and here she was. And I can't speak for her, but it was a moment where we realized just how important it is that everybody's helping to take care of people in our own community.
Now, and we'll do another show on this. And you do a lot of training with girls in high school for signs, because one of the things we always come back to is a situation, these horrible situations, they don't start out like that. You don't, on the first date, treat somebody like that. But it does, there are signs to look for, and it does happen. The statistics bear it out.
We will talk about that. I mean, we could talk a whole show on preventing domestic violence, and the kind of the work that we do is helping people know what the signs are to look for. And that's tremendous when those high school students can get that information, because it helps them as they progress. But actually preventing domestic violence, a lot of work ahead.
Kathy Anderson, great to have you here. Thank you so much. We will talk to you many times in the year ahead. Thanks.
Happy holidays. Thanks, Ted.
EmpowerHouseVA.org is the website, and we will do a show sometime in January talking about Empty Bowl. That's coming up on January 29th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.